evening, dear listener. David Smith, you see, was not the kind of person that society would call normal. This would not be the case if it was completely normal to have a pet flamingo named Stuart, perfectly usual to eat pickled eggplant and marmalade sandwiches for lunch, and utterly every day to live on the converted roof of your parents' house despite being 30. Sadly, this was not the case. Dave was, in short, a nutcase. A weirdo. I think that the best way for you, dear listener, to be introduced to Dave would be for me to run through a typical day for him. His Dave-ly routine, if you will. Dave started the day off by waking up from a dream about crystallized jelly, a topic he dreamed about on a regular basis, rolling into a standing position on his bed and singing with great gusto, "Oh, what a beautiful morning," despite the fact that it was pouring with rain outside, lightning was flashing, and the thunder was deafening. Not only did this trick his simple mind into thinking that the morning was, in fact, of sufficient quality, but it was also a call to arms for his pet flamingo, Stuart, to begin the day ab ovo along with him. Dave jumped off the bed, which had so many pillows on it was not even funny, did a ninja-style roll over to his yellow wardrobe. You would be half expecting him to throw some shurikens, but sadly he did not, and opened it. This was easier said than done, you see, as Dave was not a dab hand at DIY and had put the hinges of the doors on the top. He had grabbed hold of the knobs, danced back, and then dashed backwards to grab a stick to prop underneath the now horizontal door so he could ponder over which attires to attire without acting as a human pillar. Now, you have to understand that Dave did not wear trendy clothes. Oh no, he did not. He did not give a single particle of a jar of pickled potatoes about fashion. If dressing as though you were going to a rather too over-the-top 1960s disco every single day of your life was fashionable, then yes, he followed fashion, but he didn't, so shut up. Follow fashion, I mean. He did dress up like he was going to the disco every single day of his life. Today, after about 10 minutes of agonisingly precise indecisivity, Dave selected a t-shirt that had a donut, a banana, and a jar of pickled strawberries on it. He had had it printed himself 4 years ago. The t-shirt printer's face was priceless when Dave described his desire. To wear on the southerly quarters, he chose some green flares that, at their widest point, measured about as wide as Dave at his widest point. His shoes? Well, I'm glad you asked. He did not want to wear shoes in the house, but when he went out that day, he would wear some shoes longer than the average cat that he had had handed down from a clown he once knew. His hair? I'm glad you're so inquisitive. It's making a great storyline. That week, Dave's hair had been dyed the colour of a jar of pickled peaches he had eaten for a snack and decided that they were utterly delicious and deserved to be the colour of his hair. Each week, his hair was a new colour. And this week, it was that dull pink with a few splashes of murky green. He carefully and expertly scooped up a small amount of styling gel from the little pot and spiked up the front of his hair in a shape of scissors. Then, focusing way too hard, he proceeded to stick several accessories in various other spots. A broken light bulb, a pencil sharpener, and a pocket calendar. With a nod of satisfaction at the mirror, Dave sprinted outside as fast as he could, for no reason in particular. By outside, I really do mean outside. Dave's house was not even a house. It was a canopy on the roof of his parents' house. You see, about 9 years ago, when he had turned 21, Dave had made an agreement with his thankfully easygoing mother and father to knock off the tile parts of the roof to make it flat, build a few closed rooms with big bits of wood he had spare, and make the roof his own domain. He did not want to leave his parents, nor be a waste of space in their home, so this was a great compromise, unless you didn't like having a great massive den similar to the ones you had made in the garden as a child on your roof, which Dave's parents didn't mind. So Dave jumped on a hoverboard he had got for his last birthday. He had asked for one for his 10th birthday, but Granny Evelyn could not afford one for him until his 29th, and careered over the creaky floorboards towards the little barbecue where he cooked his food. The great canopy above him, made of different tarpaulins and blankets of all different colours of the rainbow, protected him from the driving rain. The sound of it pit-pattering on the blankets was oddly comforting. He sang this meaningful and inspiring song as he trundled around busying himself with his morning omelette.
Would you like to look at my potato? It just sits there being a potato. Would you like to look at my potato? It does nothing at all.
It brings tears to my eyes. And after cooking his morning omelette expertly from pickled eggs and duck eggs, none of that hen eggs muck, and throwing some chopped up peach in there too for good measure, he gobbled it up and proceeded to bang on the door of Stuart's bedroom.
Stu, you need to get up. We've got a fresh batch of pickled strawberries to sell at the market. Make yourself a quick omelette while I get the cart ready, okay? All right, I am a flamingo, you know. I sleep standing up. I've been up since 6, taking care of some very important business.
Stuart spoke very similar to Dave, for it was he who had taught him how to talk. In actual fact, Stuart had got up early to listen to Ariana Grande's new album. Stuart was a huge fan of Ariana Grande. Someday, dear listener, you will know how Dave came to own a pet flamingo, but today is not the day. So Stuart busied himself with the day's breakfast, also an omelette, but made from pickled eggs with a little algae. Meanwhile, Dave got the cart ready. Dave had a small patch in the corner of the garden where he grew all different kinds of vegetables and fruit. He picked some strawberries that had freshly grown and watered the rest. He also had a tiny coop in which he kept a duck named Richard, and sometimes Stuart if he was naughty. Every morning he ran as fast as he could into the little coop to maim the element of surprise and grabbed Richard under his belly, moving him to the other corner. Richard would often protest something along the lines of,
"You imbecile! Those are my eggs! Produce of one such as myself does not suffice for your exiguous pastichery! Quack! Do not pick me up as though I am but a doll! I will have justice!"
This moving of the struggling mallard would allow Dave to quickly grab whatever eggs he had laid and put them in his basket before he angrily was pecked. After spending most of the morning fighting with ducks and yelling at flamingos, Dave took his basket of strawberries, 4 duck eggs in total and a carrot, and placed them all in a preserves jar ready to be pickled. He sent Richard's eggs up a small mini elevator he could constructed himself out of pulleys, which went directly to his fridge. Then he found a preserves jar in which the strawberries had already pickled and placed them all in a series of smaller jars. Then he put a few unrelated stickers he had collected from various events on the jars and sent them up to the other mini elevator, which went to the cart. What was the cart, you asked? Well, I'll tell you. Keep your hair on. Dave's profession, imagine me making bunny ear gesticulations, was to get his small wagon, pulled by Stuart, and go and sell his jars of pickled whatever to the willing people at whatever artisan market was on that day. He called himself the profligate pickler, which was exactly what he was. He tried pickling things nobody had ever tried pickled. Sometimes they were a breakthrough, sometimes they were utterly revolting. But this was what people loved. They loved the mystery of buying one of his delightful little jars. They also liked to leave their children to pet Stuart while they browsed what pickled wonders the profligate pickler could provide them with. He was something of a legend in the community. The cart itself was a middle-aged style wagon, but instead of being pulled by a horse, it was pulled by a usually reluctant flamingo, dressed in cloths of all different colours of the rainbow. Bunting and Pants and Papayel Picato were what decorated the car, which, if that wasn't enough, was spray-painted bright orange. There were little shelves stacked on it, with jars and jars of pickled wonders lining them along with a few cacti in colourful pots just to add atmosphere. The whole car had an air of a Mexican fiesta, colour, cleanliness, culture. The car was Dave's greatest possession, part of many people's daily or weekly routine. Dave loaded up the cart with his pickled strawberries, plus a few bonus pickled eggs, carefully filling in the gaps on the shelves where things had been bought yesterday. He threw Stuart's bright, colourful cart-pulling cloths, made especially, at him, signalling that he must pull them on quickly because they needed to go. Whilst Stuart was doing so vigorously, Dave ran down to the garden, saying a quick hello to his mother, who was bashing the shed with a hammer, and rolling the cart around to the front, the jars of pickled wonders clinking on their shelves. Fetching Stuart, who now looked like he was ready to be an extra in a tropical over-extravagant dance number, Dave hopped into the cart, rolling down the hill. Halfway down, whilst deciding which song to sing to attract new customers' attention, he heard a loud squawk of annoyance from Stuart, who had not been strapped to the cart. Dave pushed the cart laboriously back up the hill, allowed Stuart to attach himself via some ropes and clips and things, and jump back into the cart.
Mush! Mush, mush, my fine flamingo! We will sell pickled wonders today! Mwahahahaha!
Stuart glared at him in annoyance for, one, forgetting him for the third time that week. It was Tuesday. On Monday, he had forgotten twice. And yelling at him madly as though he was his slave, which, all things considered, he was. Stuart plodded along reluctantly down the hill and into the town. When they finally got to that day's artisan market, Dave guffawed at the boring tables, some of them with umbrellas, as it was still pouring with rain. Selling eggs and milk and those way too expensive scented candles nobody ever buys. He sniggered at their unoriginality. His cart was superior. He took the locks off the shelves. These stopped the pickled wonders from smashing on the street while Dave was travelling, as had happened before, and threw Stuart a piece of algae to chomp on. He erected a few signs stating the prices, adding the cost of the strawberries in an orange Sharpie, and then he was ready for business. Dave proceeded to carry out his favourite marketing strategy, to sing a song about his pickled wonders at the top of his voice so everyone could hear his wares. Today's song was one that he had made up while cooking his omelette. It went...
You, sir, would you like to buy a pickled strawberry, or six, or seven, or 80? What do you mean you need to go and look at something else? Stuart, attack!
And so on. Whilst this flamingo-induced carnage was happening, the unsatisfied customer crawling along the floor, his clothes in tatters, Stuart pecking angrily at him, Dave greeted an old lady who came to him regularly, and after reassuring her that this was a normal thing, the unsatisfied customer came to the stall and begged Dave to sell him a jar of pickled strawberries. The marketing strategy had worked. It was ever so slightly malicious, but hugely effective. Almost everyone at those markets was there for his pickled wonders, but also there for Dave's friend Delmira Bushy. Now, Delmira Bushy was almost the female version of Dave. She wore her curly dyed purple hair in a messy bun on top of her head, with a few combs stuck in there for artistic purposes. She wore a long patchwork overcoat she had probably made herself, with a shirt patterned with pineapples and a long orange skirt reaching down to the ground. Her pet weasel, Elliot, sat judging Stuart in his cage decorated with crocheted mandalas. What did she sell? Art. Any kind of art, including paintings, sketches, outrageously impractical but beautiful clothes, sculptures, music, CDs, poetry you could find in that little gypsy tent. High-class home designers would flock from far and wide to purchase her unique and bespoke pieces, just like connoisseurs of food would flock to sample Dave's unique delicacies. They were a pair of shepherds with all this controlling of the flocks. Occasionally, Dave would wander into Delmira's tent, maybe because business was slow, or because it was busy and he wanted to be inconvenient. Occasionally, he would purchase a piece of clothing or a small sculpture for his coffee table. The two curious merchants had become friends and occasionally went out for afternoon tea in the morning, just as they liked it. They were the two most successful sellers there, and everyone was delighted for them, apart from Elias McFinn. Elias McFinn was a scented candle seller just opposite where Dave normally pitched. He was a middle-aged, senile man with hair that seemed to get more exiguous every day. He sported small, beady eyes for looking angrily at Dave. And his business name? Elias's Scented Candles. Now, please explain to me, in what strange universe would a person look at this grump's plain, unimaginative banner explaining what his business was called and loudly exclaim, "Oh, what a fine paragon of a name! What a glorious appellation! Oh, it brings tears to my eyes to look upon that heavenly text! Alas, no one is a fine, imaginative fellow as this paragon of a man," whilst shaking Elias's hand vigorously and wildly gesticulating. "Is it just me, or would that happen approximately every lunar eclipse?" This just showed how pedantic Mr. McFinn was. Now, Mr. McFinn was unaware of the fact that everybody hated him because he was a Scrooge, and that nobody wanted his candles. Nobody wanted their lounge to reek of hazelnut or paraffin. But Elias thought he had no customers because Dave was bribing them with his strange pickled goods. He simply refused to accept the fact that somebody was making better products than him. All day, every day, he would give both Dave and Stuart cold, hard stares instead of actually doing anything about the monotonosity of his wares, because he was just that kind of person. So, just to clarify, at the market, Dave had both a friend and an enemy. So did Stuart. He was best friends with Pogo, a small dachshund often left with him whilst his owner, Professor Kingston, browsed the pickled wonders and chatted politely with Dave. However, he was worst enemies with Jack, a grey parrot who was the faithful companion of Reverend Lauren Montgomery. She had simply found him one day, and now he always sat on her shoulder, adding funny additions to her sermons and insulting any flamingo she happened to pass. After a hard day selling pickled wonders, and when pretty much everyone who went to that day's market was in the rightful possession of a jar of something pickled, and nobody had a scented candle, might I add, Dave strapped Stuart to the cart and set off back to his roof domain. Everyone was peaceful back at the Smith household. Richard was quietly plotting world domination in his coop. Dave's mother and father were long asleep, as the sun had set in the sky. Sarah the mannequin lazily floated around the street, still asking for leather, but not demanding it. You'll find more about her next time. Dave thought it was his sole duty to disturb this peaceful bliss, as it was only 10 o'clock. He yelled and he laughed and he sang songs with Stuart, as weary neighbours groggily arose from their beds, he yelled louder. This was the only harmful part of the daily routine, apart from, you know, using flamingo-induced violence to market a business. The daily routine was unique in every way, and that was just the way he liked it. The Curious Adventures of David Smith is written and narrated by Lois Mander. Dave and Stuart are played by Connor Brown. Richard the Duck is played by William Rodwell. Subscribe for more curious adventures. It's a regular bombardment of audible goodness. Next week, we introduce ourselves to Sarah, the mannequin desperate for some leather.